good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice.
All right, we've got a special guest today. We've got Keisha, Dr. Keisha Monteef, also known as the Headache MD, if you're on Twitter. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. I've heard nothing but the best things from you, about you, and especially from my wife, who've been suffering from these horrendous migraines until she went to see you.
Oh, I think I definitely know who she is.
Oh, it's Vivian Fried. That's okay. We talk about it all the time. We had Dr. Diego on just a couple of weeks ago. So.
Okay, well, you can say it, but I can't say it. Oh, now
oh, that's
your last
right.
name
oh,
is coming to me.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right, because of the HIPAA and everything. I'm sorry
that's
about
right.
that. Well, all I could say... Well done to you for protecting my wife's identity and stuff like that. But now she came to me and said, hey, they're going to give me Botox to help me with my migraine. What's with that?
Well, Botox was not too long ago approved for the treatment of chronic migraine headaches. It's FDA approved. There are other treatments out there that can help chronic migraine headaches, but this is the first treatment that actually received the FDA approval for chronic migraine. What is chronic migraine? It's a migraine that occurs frequently, more frequently than not. It's defined just by criteria because we like criteria, we like definitions.
Sure.
15 headache days per month, 8 migraine attacks out of those 15 headache days per month, and you want this to occur for at least 3 months.
Wow, I wouldn't want it to occur at all after listening to that.
For the diagnosis.
Okay. Now, let's say somebody's got chronic migraines. What could be some of the causes?
Okay. Well, the first thing to do is to, of course, get an evaluation and to make sure you actually have that diagnosed, rule out secondary disorders, other things that are caused by, could be brain problems, it could be other medical conditions, thyroid disease, other things that could be causing frequent headaches. And so once all those things are ruled out, a patient has a family history of migraine, has migraines before, and the migraines just became more frequent, then it's treatment. And, you know, first things we like to do is have a discussion with our patients and try and sort out why it is that their migraines might be more frequent. There's certainly risk factors for increased frequency. Some patients have had histories of head trauma some years before, not too long ago, and that's the trigger for more frequent headaches. Sometimes it could be dietary things. We don't always find things, but we certainly like to ask questions. You know, Chinese food, MSG, artificial sweeteners, these are some common things. Meat, canned meat products, these are common reasons that can trigger migraine. Red wine, for example. And we ask about lifestyle. We ask about sleep, changes in sleep patterns, sleeping, even oversleeping, undersleeping. So changes from routine can be horrible triggers for migraine headaches, menstrual cycles, for example. So we have a long discussion about trying to tease out what it is within their lifestyle or physiology that could be triggering their migraine headaches. And we sometimes get a little bit of insight. Sometimes we don't. And then to treat the migraine headaches, is there are two approaches. There are the preventive approach, and then there's the acute approach. Okay, I have a severe attack. What do I do? What do I take? And so each patient should have both a preventive approach or a plan and an acute plan. So a lot of the discussion is around trying to make sure that we've, you know, touched our bases with both these things. The preventive plan could be pharmacological treatments such as Botox injections or other treatments. There are multiple other medications out there. And lifestyle interventions, get to sleep on time. You know, for some people, it's stress. You know, I'm at the University of Miami. We have a lot of residents that come and see me, and their migraines are out of control. Well, there's no wonder. They're residents. Their hours, they're not sleeping at night. And so, you know, trying to sort out some of these lifestyle triggers are important. And medications in combination with lifestyle modifications tends to be very effective.
Now, is there anything on the horizon other than Botox that people can take, or is a migraine really a manifestation, it sounds like, of a bunch of other things coming together, and especially living in Miami where it's noisy, filled with stress, and tough to get to sleep or get a good solid night's sleep? It sounds like this place is migraine heaven, so to speak.
Well, there's certainly some pros and cons of being in Miami in terms of migraines, because I've been to other states. But I would say that there's certainly other treatments that are on the horizon for migraines. Some things are very early in development. There's a treatment, I just came back from the American Academy of Neurology, and there was a lot of excitement, phase two, meaning very early, still working on safety and efficacy in small numbers of CGRP antibody. So this would be, potentially if this works, this would be the first treatment really that is specifically targeted for migraine, where other interventions, including Botox and other tablets, have been used for other disorders. And then someone has said, hey, why not try this in migraine? And so the CGRP antibody is somewhat exciting in that it's a migraine-specific treatment and could be something that the patient does not need to have to take every single day, like a tablet. They forget problems with that. And so that's exciting. There are other treatments out there. Many of the treatments, some treatments are old treatments, but a new delivery system. And so looking for a more effective way to deliver a drug that's useful. So one example of that is dihydroergotamine, DHE, and that's a drug that I use actually quite commonly in my inpatient program. There will be an inhaled formulation of this DHE coming out, according to the company, which is actually Allergan, the same company that makes or that sells the Botox, sometime maybe in the fall or summer. So that will be really exciting for patients to have another way of administering a drug that if they were to use at home, it would be through an injection.
Wow, so that seems really cool then, sort of like an inoculation, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's terrific. And, you know, in my own personal experiences with my close personal person that has had migraines, I know that I've seen a lot of the things that you're talking about kind of interact. So it all seems to make very logical sense to me. You know, I always said that if you can't give your mind a rest, your mind is going to rebel.
That there might actually be some signs to that.
Oh my gosh!
You know, migraine is a neurological disorder. It's a common neurologic disorder. It's genetic, and so patients with migraine have a genetic predisposition to attacks, to migraine attacks, which actually is more than just pain. And so you could be Joe Schmo, and you're not sleeping, you're drinking, you're eating horribly, and you're stressed out, and you have all these tons of triggers. You'll never get a migraine because you don't have the genetic predisposition to that, versus the person that lives a completely healthy life and goes out one night, has some red wine, and now she's in bed for 7 days because she had acute migraine status.
Wow, that is absolutely horrible. I didn't realize that
could
happen.
World Health Organization considers migraine equivalent to acute quadriplegia.
Wow.
So, you know, in that people are bedbound, they can't stand sound, they can't sound light, they cannot move, and they're incapacitated. And so, that's part of the disability, that people are not aware that, first of all, that they have migraine, that there are treatments out there, that there's opportunities to improve their life. So part of the work disability and this huge work loss that has translated into all sorts of problems in you know, you're a business expert, so you certainly know about this, but may not know so much about the migraine aspect of this. People are not going to work, and so productivity is lost. So migraine is a treatable disorder that has a huge socioeconomic implication.
Well, Dr. Monteef, we're almost out of time, so you already gave me the kind of lead-in. If somebody thinks that they have this going on, either themselves or somebody in their workplace or somebody close to them, how can they reach you to get relief?
Well, the University of Miami, we have a headache division, and that includes our outpatient program, an inpatient program, and also a procedure clinic as well. And they're definitely welcome to call us and to schedule an appointment.
Well, that's absolutely terrific. Again, Dr. Moncrief, she goes by the handle HeadacheMD on Twitter. High five to you for that, Doc.
Thank you.
And, you know, we'd love to have you back again, maybe after the fall when the new stuff comes out, and we can talk about the groundbreaking work that you're doing up at UHealth with the rest of your team.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for everything you do for our community, but most importantly, of course, thank you for what you've done for us personally.
Absolutely.
You're
glad to
best.
Finally meet you.
Oh, well, I can't wait to see you in person. I got to give you a big hug. Hey, Oscar, take us out. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk about what's on my mind, and you know that's always fun. Back after this.
Dance with you, my love. Tonight, I can't wait till the morning has come. And I know now the time is just right. And straight into my arms you will run.